In 12 hours, I will destroy Washington, D.C. with
Martin Luther King.
Okay, so I don't know what day it is. I said yesterday it was, I thought it was Wednesday because I thought that it was going to be Thursday. Oh, well, today is Friday. Whew! TGIF, who crucified Jesus Christ? Depends on how big you want to expand the picture. I'm all for you expanding the picture. You know me. We keep going back and back and getting more glorious and glorious and raising the viewpoint. Did the Romans do it? Did the Jews do it? Did Satan do it? My friends, God did it. This is God's plan. I know Mel Gibson was accused of anti-Semitism. Well, look, the historical facts, the Jews have blood on their hands. They have the blood of Christ on their hands. It's a fact. Let's look at the account. Everybody can see it. Just read the scriptures. But the Romans do too. So the nations are just as guilty as Israel. But we know that Satan is called the God of this world, small g. We know that Satan causes a lot of havoc here. But is it really havoc? Well, it's not really havoc if you realize this, Ephesians 1:11, that God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. Don't know if you realize this, but your life's going to go better for you when you do. It should anyway, that God employs both good and evil in order to mature you, in order to bring you where he needs you to be. Without evil, you're not going to experience good. The greatest evil ever committed on the face of this planet was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And when we look at what came from that, an appreciation of God, a knowledge of grace, a knowing of how much God loves us, we're going to be in heaven with him forever. That's going to feel good. That's not often emphasized. I'm going to emphasize that here. I know it sounds juvenile.
It'll be.
But it's going to feel good when we get out of here.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
The only reason it's going to feel good is because we've been through this crap down here. We're not going to know glory unless we've known the infamy of being in human flesh. It's the contrast principle. That's why God brings evil. Getting back to the crucifixion, Acts chapter 4, I promised you a scripture on this. Going to give you two, because I deliver, exceed your expectations here. Peter is testifying on the day of Pentecost, Acts 4:27, "For of a truth, in this city were gathered against thy holy boy Jesus, whom thou dost anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, together with the nations and the peoples of Israel." So, look, he's doing what I just did for you. He's bringing all these people into the picture. Herod, Pontius Pilate. These people were different backgrounds, obviously. Herod, a Jewish dude. Pilate, a Roman. Together with the nations. Okay, nobody's getting off the hook here. And the peoples of Israel. Peter's putting the whole nation of Israel under this thing, too, here. So, Mel Gibson, you're in good company. To do, but here's the ultimate, to do, verse 28, whatever thy hand, capital T, and thy counsel, capital T, these designates beforehand to occur. God designated this beforehand to occur. And Pilate, and Herod, and Judas, and the nations, and all these other people were but pawns in the hand of God, because this was designated beforehand to occur, and neither one of them could have avoided this fate. Nobody, no player on this scene could have avoided doing what they had to do to accomplish this great work that God had in mind all the time. Acts chapter 2. Now, I'm going to give you a second witness. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. This is Peter again. This one given up in the specific counsel and foreknowledge of God. Not just the foreknowledge, because people will say, well, God knew ahead of time that the crucifixion was going to happen. No, he didn't just know ahead. He did know ahead of time, but why did he know ahead of time? Because it was also in accord with his specific counsel. And as we read in Acts chapter 4, it was designated to occur. And if God knows ahead of time that it's going to happen, then it has to happen. And so all these people with blood on their hands, they're also affected and saved and eventually sanctified, saved, returned to God through the cross. So I'm relieving all these people of guilt because, you know, this crucifixion, it was a wrong and a right at the same time. Are you following me here?
No.
Who's going to say that the crucifixion of Christ was not the greatest sin ever committed? Yet. Who will not also say that it was the greatest blessing that ever occurred? How can something be wrong and right at the same time? Man, I'm getting into the... You know what I'm doing here.
No.
You don't? I'm getting into the truths of justification. Justification is that your sins are really, in a very real sense, because of Christ's death, they're right.
Sweet.
Because, now, boy, that's going to be taken the wrong way. Can I cover my real quick here?
No.
I got to cover my real quick. I don't recommend that you sin. And all, I should have said this a long time ago, way back on Monday. I'm not recommending, I'm not making light of sin. If you can't go to Mel Gibson's movie and come out of it making light of sin because you see what it takes to relieve sin from us, relieve us from the burden of sin. I'm not recommending that you go out to sin. You go out and do whatever you want. You go out and sin just to test the grace of God. But even if you do, you can't out-sin the cross. You cannot out-sin grace. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about this all weekend. Unless you're a sinner, I'm taking the big picture now. You remember I talked about raising the viewpoint? We can stay down here mired in our guilt, mired in our flesh, and all feeling bad about things we've done. And that only goes so far. There is a sense where I say, yeah, between ourselves, when you offend somebody, you do want to apologize. And, of course, you do want to make things right with your fellow men and women. But raise the picture now, and without sin, we can't know grace. It is very necessary that we be sinning creatures, and God knew this. He provided for it. Because you can't know grace without sin. People sing Amazing Grace, and they're so happy that Jesus came. Yay for Jesus. Then they'll turn around, they'll curse the devil, they'll damn Pilate, they'll damn the Jews, and they'll curse sin and say, this is the worst thing that ever happened, because they're so nearsighted. They can't see the big picture. Folks, you wouldn't be singing Amazing Grace if you weren't a sinner. It's part of God's program. It's not an accident. It's part of Plan A. God is on Plan A. Take that thought with you this weekend. Christianity taught me that God had to go to Plan B when Satan ruined his universe. Satan didn't ruin his universe. That's exactly what God wanted to happen. Am I making God a sinner? Well, you're making God a sinner by saying he's responsible for sin. No. To sin means to miss the mark. But God, in providing for the entrance of sin, did not miss the mark because that's exactly what he wanted to do. If he didn't want sin to come, and it came anyway because an enemy snuck up on him, then God is a sinner. So the Orthodox doctrine makes him a sinner, not my doctrine. They say Satan snuck up on God, pulled a fast one, now he had to come up with a Savior. Plan B, he's going through his favors. Oh my God, what am I going to do now? Adam fell in the garden. Ho-ho, that wasn't my plan. Yeah, it was God's plan. Sin had to come in order for you to get so messed up in it that you'd look for a Savior and feel your deliverance. You can't feel deliverance unless you've been messed up here on earth. All right, man, that's something to think about. Did I give you enough? Still got one more little thing to say about Mel Gibson, and then I'm going to talk about a guy. On Monday, I just had this inspiration to talk about this guy who, when I told him the truth about who really crucified Christ, you ain't going to believe what he told me. And this is a Christian guy. Woo! That's on Monday. Have a great weekend. Think about it. I'm Martin Zender. Bye.